morning. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to just come and share the word with you all today. What a joy. What a joy to have the word of God. Amen. What a joy to not only have the written word of God, but to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. And one day, no one knows the day or the hour, but there's going to be a trumpet blast and a shout, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. He's coming again, and we must redeem the time. Missions. It's not just for the pastors, right? It's not just for the Sunday school. It's for everyone. Consider yourself called to go. Jesus said go before he went to heaven, right? He said, go ye. He called all disciples. Go and make disciples. Let's pray. We're going to look at a bunch of different scriptures, but Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Father, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, without you, I'd be in hell today, Lord. And Lord, I just give you praise, Lord. I praise you for the blood that you shed, and that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And I praise you, Lord, for the power of your resurrection. Praise you for raising me, raising us, Lord God, to newness of life in Christ. You've given us everlasting life, oh God, and a hope that is solid and sure and steadfast, and an anchor that holds behind the veil, oh God. Oh Lord, and we are looking for that blessed hope, Lord God, of that glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, there's still work to be done. There's still missions. Tomorrow in school, tomorrow on the job, Lord Jesus. Lord, as every day dawns, Lord God, there's another soul that needs you, Lord Jesus. There's souls in this county that have never heard. There's souls all around, Lord God, that are blinded by the enemy, and they need to hear the hope of everlasting life. So, Lord, may your word just inflame our hearts, set our hearts on fire with your word and for your glory, and use us to go as burning and shining lamps, O God, to point hearts to the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week was Resurrection Sunday, and what a wonder, because that's the whole crux of the mission. Because if Christ is dead, we have no mission. You know, I was up in Buffalo at the train station the other day, and I was like, you know, if Jesus is dead, I'm pretty much a fool standing here talking to you. You know, I'm a fool to stand here and tell you, hey, Jesus can change your life, you know. He can save you from hell, and he can give you eternal life in heaven. If Jesus is dead, there is no hope. There is no hope for anybody. But it says in Matthew 28, as we read here, it says, After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came down and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Hallelujah for the cross. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And look at the next words, even the angels, tell the women, and go quickly. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not here, he's risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And then verse 7, he says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before them to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring the disciples word. I love it. These women were the very first missionaries, evangelists, running with the good news. Go and tell the disciples. Go and tell the disciples. So they went quickly. They went quickly with fear and great joy. They ran. I love that. They ran to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying to them, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. There's all kinds of hopelessness in the world, but we have a living hope. We have a risen Savior. We have the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings who died for our sins, but who rose again from the grave. And he says, rejoice, rejoice. If you talk to people and you ask people, what's your greatest fear? Probably they'll tell you, a man told me this week, my greatest fear, I think about it every day, every night, is dying, dying, dying. And everyone that we meet has that appointed day. It's appointed to everyone once to die, and then after death is the judgment. Everyone has that day. And that's why, you know, I love Jesus as he would call out, whoever has ears, let him hear. Everyone who is alive has ears. Jesus calls out to everyone, let everyone who hears, has ears, hear. Everyone has an appointment with death, but Jesus had one appointment with death for all our sin, for the sins of the world. You think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and Christ came to die in the place of our sin, of the sin of the world, to die once for all, so that all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So as Jesus meets these women, he says, rejoice, rejoice. And they came and they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. Don't you love that? That's what you guys were doing. I was thinking about this verse when they were singing hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for Jesus and for his cross, for his cross. It's in a sense spiritually as holding his feet and worshiping him. Don't ever stop worshiping the Lord. Don't ever lose the wonder of Christ. Every time we go out to reach out, I always tell folks, we tell them, you got to reach up before you reach out. You got to reach up before you reach out. Talk to him about them before you talk to them about him. We need to reach up before we reach out. Lord, we can't do anything. We can do nothing without you. But Lord, we praise you that you're worthy. Spend time worshiping the Lord, you know? Remember that song, Fill My Cup, Lord? I lift it up, Lord. You know, come and quench the thirsting in my soul. The cup's not full till it's running over. Amen? And you want to go out with the overflowing cup, you know? So they say, what's he got, you know? Amen. And then it splashes out. It flows out. Jesus said, he who believes on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. He wants it flowing out of his believers, those who are his disciples, the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's a thirsting, dying world all around us that need to hear and need to know the truth. They worshiped him. They worshiped him. But Jesus says in verse 10, he says to them, do not be afraid, but go and tell my brethren. Go and tell my brethren that I go to Galilee. There they will meet them. There they will see me. He tells them to go and tell the other believers, the other disciples. We're going to get to the end of this chapter in a moment. But look over at Luke chapter 24. It's the same day. Jesus is risen from the grave. Jesus is risen from the grave. And it says in Luke 24, verse 13, it says, now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together. They talked together of all the things which had happened. And so it was that while they conversed, that Jesus himself drew near with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. They didn't realize that it was him. They didn't realize that it was Christ, Jesus, risen from the grave. And Jesus asked this question, verse 17, he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are sad? What kind of talk is this? What are you guys talking about? And why are you talking like this? And why are you guys sad? Remember the first word he said to the women that came to the tomb as they see him? Rejoice! And now he meets these two guys that are kicking stones and they're sad. They're down in the dumps. And Jesus says, why are you guys sad? Why are you guys sad? Well, I got baptized in pickle juice. No, just kidding. Well, no. Jesus says, why are you sad? If anyone has good news, it's us, right? But these guys didn't know the good news yet. Their eyes are restrained from seeing. They didn't recognize. Their hearts were sad because they saw Christ crucified. And then now it's the third day. They speak and they say, verse 18, one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things that have happened here in these days? They're sad. They're sad. But Jesus Can you imagine him holding himself together? What things? What things? I love it. So they said, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers, they delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We were hoping. We were hoping. Why are they sad? We were hoping. Now they were feeling hopeless. And so Jesus noticed that they were sad. We were hoping, verse 21, we were hoping that this was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, they astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen visions of angels who said, he is alive. And certain of them who were with us went to the tomb. They found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Their hearts were sad. They were hoping. They were hoping he was the one. Remember Hosanna? Let's crown him king. Save now. Save now. They had all these hopes, and their hopes were dashed, and they're sad. They're walking sad. Why are you sad? But Jesus speaks to them, and this is key in our going with the good news. This is so key. Look what happens. Jesus says, verse 25, he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoke. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. He was an expository preacher. Hello. Amen? Like Pastor Paul in Sunday school. Whoa! That was so rich. That was so encouraging. That was just refreshing to hear the word, one word after another. But encouraging. And it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in the scriptures all the things concerning him. He's just speaking the word, pouring the word into their lives. And we need that in our lives. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But we need to let the word fill our hearts. We need to let the word of God so fill our hearts. We need to be like Paul and say, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Be fully persuaded in your mind, in your heart. Be fully persuaded. Spend time in the word of God. But not just for information, for inflammation. Let the word inform your mind and let the word of God set a fire in your heart. Let the word of God inflame your soul so that it lights your soul on fire and that you go out as light shining in a dark place. This is a dark world. This is a dark world. We're living in times when they're calling evil good and good evil. Good Friday, I was on the corner in Jamestown with a cross, and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then on the other side it says, heaven or hell, where will you spend eternity? Jesus is the only way to heaven. Did you know I'm there for a while and got to speak to folks that would walk by? There wasn't many people walking by. Interesting. So that's why I like to use signs as well. But those that I spoke with, was able to share the word with them. But next news you know, four police officers show up. Four police officers show up. He said, we got a call. We got a call. And that's not the only time that that's happened. More and more, the light is being pushed out. Being pushed out. Just go out and talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Oh, man, that day there was this guy, he kind of did a lap. He came by once and told me all kinds of stuff that I'm not even going to repeat here. He said, take that garbage and just, you know. And he came back to say it again. And wow, just like, this is good news. This is good news. And we're in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. And so it's kind of crazy when all of a sudden the police come up. And I said, what's happening? What's happening here? I said, this is Good Friday. And I have good news about Jesus who died for our sin, who rose again. People need to hear it. In Buffalo 2 weeks ago, police officer came up to me, and a couple weeks before, I was on the corner, and it's a spot where there's a lot of guys that deal drugs at a bus stop right outside of Tim Hortons, but there's people doing the shiesties, and they're dealing drugs outside of there. And one grandma lady, she said, it's so sad. She said, these guys are here dealing drugs, and the police drive by, and they do nothing about it. She said, they need Jesus. But a couple weeks later, as in just 2 weeks ago now, as I'm on that same corner, the police came over, and he goes, get that trash out of here. I said, sir, this is good news. This is good news. This is about God's love and how he loved us so much. He gave his son Jesus to die for our sin, to save us. He said, get it out of here. Get it out of here. That's Western New York. That's this area. Wow. We need to redeem the time. We had release time. You have release time here with the kids in Bemis Point. And there's kids coming down. We had a scripture on the board that it said, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the kids came down, and they sit down. And this one boy, he's sitting there, and he's reading the sign, and he's like, Jesus Christ. And the little boy said, why is there a curse word on that board up there? Why is there a curse word on that board there? They don't know. Remember the scripture that was up on that one video? How will they hear unless there's a preacher? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But you don't have to have a pulpit, and you don't have to be called a preacher or have a paper that says you're a preacher to go and share the good news. Amen? Amen? We've been called. Jesus said, go. Jesus said, go. And I love it. As Jesus appears to these guys, he points them to the word. And you see how faith comes as they hear the word. Watch what happens here in Luke 24. He's expounding the scriptures to them, verse 27, from Moses and the prophets. He's expounding it and all the scriptures. He's speaking the things concerning himself. And then, says verse 28, they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he was going to go further. Okay, we'll see you guys later, you know? We'll see you guys later. He indicated that he was going to keep going. But it says, verse 29, but they constrained him. They constrained him. No. Abide with us. Abide with us. Stay with us. For it's towards evening, and the day is far spent. Remember, their eyes are still hid. And it says, he went in to stay with them. And it came to pass that as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were open. So you wondered, you know, he's handing them the bread. They see the nail scars in his hand. You know, take this. And remembering the word, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembering those words that before he even died, he said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. He desired the Passover. So he said, with fervent desire, burning, boiling desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you, for I will not eat it again until in the kingdom. He said, take this cup. It's the new covenant of my blood shed for you for the remission of your sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. There's no hope of salvation anywhere in any religion, anywhere on the face of this earth, except in Jesus Christ. For he's the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the one who died on that cross, who was buried and rose again. He's the only hope. He's the only hope. He's the only hope, and we need to share. We have it. We have it. Amen? Could you imagine if someone had the cure to cancer and they weren't telling the cure, you know? There'd probably be a lot of people picketing saying, man, that guy had the cure and he didn't tell anybody, you know? There would be a lot, it'd be on the news. It'd be on, like, you know, what kind of cruel, evil man is that he had the cure and he didn't share it with anybody, you know? We have the cure. It's Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, the only cure. The only cure, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no other door. There's no other way. It's Christ alone. Jesus opens up their eyes. I love this. Jesus opens up their eyes, and then he vanished from their sight. But their eyes were open. They said, it's him. It's Christ. He is risen. He is risen. And they're putting it all together. He had to die. He had to suffer for our sin. There was no other way for salvation. But he is risen. And then look what they say. In verse 32, it says, then they said to one another, then they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us, and they rose up. They rose up that very hour. They returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. And they said, the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. They went and they told the good news. Whenever someone has an encounter with Christ Jesus, they can't keep quiet about it. They can't keep quiet about it. Do you remember the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 26? It says, listen to Paul's heartbeat. Acts 26:9, he said, I myself thought that I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Whatever I could, this was Saul before Christ. He's the one that was in charge of the stoning of Stephen. The guys who were stoning him left their clothes with Saul. And now Saul, here he is. He says, I thought myself to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. You a Jesus freak? You're out of here, you know? Would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Jesus freak? Would you slip under Saul's radar, right? Would you slip under Saul's radar? Don't worry about him. He's not a threat. He doesn't speak about Jesus. That's a good question, right? It's a good question. I thought myself to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, and this I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison. How do you know they were saints? You know? How do you know that these guys were followers of Jesus? And having received authority from the chief priests, when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, Saul says. I punished them often in every synagogue. I compelled them to blaspheme, verse 11, and being exceedingly enraged against them. See that rage? Wow. Psalm 2 says the nations rage against the Lord, against his Christ. Saul, he says, I was exceedingly enraged against them. So I persecuted them even to foreign cities. And that while I was thus occupied, it was when he was on his way to persecute more believers that Jesus met him. Jesus met him on the road. And it says in verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw a great light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, because every one of us, every believer in Christ Jesus is sealed with the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption, and Christ is in you, the hope of glory. So when you touch them, that you touch the apple of his eye. Think about that. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus had already ascended into heaven. Jesus had already ascended into heaven. But he was in every believer by the Holy Spirit, by the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Could you imagine Miracle Ranchers? Someone has a set of spurs on their boots and you just come up and you got bare feet and you're trying to kick those spurs, you know? How would that feel? You know, the goads, the prods, you know, wanting to prod them along. Just spurs are probably just a little minor type of goad, you know? Get that horse going down the trail. But Jesus said it's hard for you to kick against the goads. And here's Paul as he saw then, but he says to him, who are you, Lord? This encounter with Christ Jesus, after Christ is risen, Jesus is coming to save him. Who are you, Lord? Saul says, And he said, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. I am Jesus who you are persecuting. But it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. It doesn't stop with the resurrection. It doesn't stop with Christ crucified, buried, and risen. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said to Paul. Verse 16, he says, but rise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you, to deliver you from the Jews, from the Jewish people, and as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I'm now sending you, to whom I'm now sending you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness. They need forgiveness. They need to see the light of Christ. They need to know the hope of everlasting life. They're in darkness. They're in darkness, in the shadow of death. They're under the sway of Satan, and they need to see the light of Christ Jesus. They need to have their sins washed away. So the Lord Jesus, the very day that Paul, at that time he was Saul, was converted, Jesus says, I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness. To make you a minister and a witness. Remember when you were a kid in Sunday school, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You remember it? Yeah. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it. And then you sing, hide it under a bushel. No, you know. And sometimes you get rowdy on the nose, you know. Now, a lot of times it's, the light went out, candle went out. No worries. Right? Paul said, hey, Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God that's in you. Get on fire and go out there and shine for the light of the glory of God. Let Jesus shine through you. There's a whole world that's dying and on their way to hell. They need Jesus. They need to hear the hope. They need to hear the hope of eternal life. Go and tell them. And it all starts here when Paul had the encounter with Christ. And Jesus said, hey, I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister, to make you a witness. And then Paul says, I was not disobedient to that vision. I wasn't disobedient. Do you know Paul's whole passion? You know, in Philippians, he said, my heartbeat, the one thing that he desires, he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I'm willing to even suffer with Christ, for Christ, so that Christ can be glorified in me. I just want to know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. What about you? What about you? Has your love for Christ grown cold since the day that you received him as Savior and Lord of your life? If it is cold today, may the Holy Spirit fan that flame and set you ablaze. May you surrender all. If you've taken stuff off the altar, may you bring it back and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive my selfishness, my pride, my not surrendering all to you daily. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, fan into flame your gift in my life, Lord. Right? Get that basket off the light and start singing the song again. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Amen. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't hide it under a bush. Paul's whole life was wrapped up in, I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. I want to even be conformed to his death. Paul saw the reality of the spiritual battle in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. He said, if our gospel, if the good news that we've been given, the good news of God's salvation, the good news that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and he rose again, if that's hidden, it says if it's veiled, verse 3, 2 Corinthians 4, 3, if it's veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. No worries. The other day, there was a guy walking down the street. He was going right. He was a blind man. And going, I said, sir, let me help you. The light was red, but he was walking, going to walk right across. I said, sir, Sir, the light's red. You got to wait. Paul, imagine not speaking a word. He knew the reality. He said, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. They can't see, they're perishing. They need to hear of Jesus, because faith will come as they hear the word. You know? Faith comes by hearing the word. If it's veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age has blinded. Those who do not believe. Why? The god of this age, he seeks, verse 4, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan fights to keep people from seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus. He doesn't want them to come to know Jesus. But Paul goes on, he says, we don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves bondservants for his sake. It says, for it is God who commands, not suggests. It is God who commands the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. He commanded, let there be light, and there was light. And he's the very one who shone into our hearts. Now we have this treasure. Now we have this treasure. Listen to what Paul says in verse 10 and 11. He says it twice. He says, we always carry about in our body, always, we always carry about in our body the dying of the Lord. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. We always carry about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. I want Jesus to shine out of my life. That's what Paul's saying. We want the life of Jesus to shine out of our lives. And look what he says again, verse 11. We who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. We just want Jesus to get glory. We just want another person to hear of Christ. We want another person to hear of Jesus and the power of his resurrection, of the God who forgives sins. That was his passion, his heartbeat, because Paul knew reality. Paul knew reality. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He knew this reality. Thus, he's passing it to the Romans. You will be saved. With the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, verse 11, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. And then he says, for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. You know what? As I was at that bus stop a little while before the police told me to get that trash out of here, there was another lady that walked by. There's business people, there's people dealing the drugs there. But what was interesting, this one lady, she kind of gave the whole, you know, I don't want to hear anything about Jesus, you know, and she was really just angry, you know, just sad. And so, you know, Jesus says, if they reject you, sweep off the dust and go to the next, right? Go to the next. So the next person I talked to, he's like, I'm so encouraged that you're here. He's like, I love Jesus. He's like, I was just sending a text message to my pastor telling him there's someone at this bus stop talking about Jesus, you know? And I told my pastor what that lady just said to you. And so his pastor texted back. You know what the pastor texted back? Romans 10:14. He's like, look at this. Verse 14. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How will they believe on him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? And in the midst of, you can get discouraged. You can only get, you know, you can get discouraged, you know, one after another. God used this guy with his cell phone to say, look what my pastor just texted to me. And wow, you know, God was encouraging my heart. Keep going, you know. Keep going, keep spreading the news. And sometimes you can get weary, you can get discouraged. I'm here just saying, keep going till Jesus comes. There's people that need to hear, and God can use you to share that good news with them. How will they hear? He says, how will they call on him whom they have not believed. And how will they believe on him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We have the good news. We have the good news. Do you have good feet? Do you have beautiful feet? Maybe your feet hurt. Maybe you get those pains and those aches in your feet. But they can be beautiful as you carry the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever you go. Remember he said, put on having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet go where you go. You know, may we be carriers wherever we go of the good news. May we not be silent, especially at such a time as this. At such a time as this, when there's folks around this county, around this state, around this nation, around the world that have not heard, and that they desperately need Christ. They need Christ. God is able. God is able to save. Back at the bus stop on Thursday this week, there was a man standing there, and he's looking up in the sky, and he's just kind of, standing. I said, sir, I have some good news for you. It's of God's love for you. It's of Jesus, how he loves you. He died for you. Have you heard this? He's like, no. Got to share with him, got to open up the Word of God with him. And that man gave his life to Jesus on Thursday. What's awesome, I've never, just a few times you hear this, but that man, he was waiting for a representative from a college to interview him, and he was there. But he goes, thank you for sharing this with me today. Thank you for sharing this with me today. There's people that haven't heard. There's people that need to hear. People who have heard, and have hardened their hearts. Have you met people like that? And they need to hear, and they need to see. Maybe just give them a hug and share with them the truth, the love of Christ Jesus, that God loves them. God loves them so much. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for them so that they would not perish, but they would have everlasting life. Amen? They may have everlasting life. Oh, do you have everlasting life today? Are you on your way to heaven today? Amen. One person. No, it's good. Amen. 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 We have good news. Don't keep it to ourselves. Let it out of the bag. You're going to lunch in a couple minutes, and now you're saying, man, we're late for lunch. Tell somebody the good news. Amen. Lord, we yield to you, Lord God. We're only here because you saved us, because you washed us, because you love us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying in our place. Thank you for your resurrection power. Lord, if there's someone in this room that's on their way to hell, they don't know you. May today be the day that they call on your name and they say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, save my soul. And they will be saved. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, for the believers, everyone that you've redeemed, you've purchased us with your blood, Lord God. You've given us the good news. You've raised us from death to life, Lord God. May we not be silent about it. Oh, Lord, fan into flame your work. May your word be as a fire in our hearts, Lord God. May you put a strong fire in our hearts as those men on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us as we heard the word? Lord, let every heart in your church, Lord God, be ablaze, set ablaze for the glory of your name, for your coming again, Lord God. May we redeem the time in these evil days. May we redeem the time, and may we let the light so shine so that one more can hear about Christ. One more can be called from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Glorify your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the time you shared.